Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
There's disappointment, but in the day, it's our fault we didn't win more games prior to that. We shouldn't have put ourselves in that position. We should have been in a position that no matter what happens, that we would be more a part of the mix. So the disappointment from our standpoint is I actually felt our group really enjoyed being together and challenging each other, trying to get better as a group. And I think Ralph enjoyed communicating with the guys on daily occurrence. That communication has certainly continued over the last couple months here. It's just not the same as being there every day out on the ice interacting with each other. So it's certainly disappointing. We have to do a better job at creating more offense throughout our four lines, of having more depth scoring throughout our entire lineup. As a GM, I have to give our coach Ralph Krueger the ability to change different lines up to have more depth through his four groups. And I will certainly always support, and I truly believe in a lot of our young players that we have within our system here.
I've been reflecting pretty much since I came home here in Sweden, and especially now that we couldn't make the 24 best in the league. So it's tough. It's tough to be here in Sweden when all my Swedish buddies are going back and playing, and I'm staying here home in back in Sweden and not playing. So pisses me off a little bit actually to not play now.
I think winning changes almost everything in pro sports. And the 12, 13 years that I've been involved in, I've seen it, because if we get in the playoffs, I guarantee you people are going to come and they're going to be loud and they're going to be so into it. And that's winning. That's what winning does. And it's a results business. The people of Buffalo are so passionate about their sports teams. It really is fun for me to play in a market like this.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, in case you forgot, it's Thursday today. That's good. So we're a little closer to the weekend. And I just popped an energy drink, so I'm good to go for the next 5 hours. Although, let's just call it a show at 10 just to play it safe. Good morning, Mr. White. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I had a crappy night of sleep. That's why I had to pop the energy drink.
I also had a poor night of sleep.
Did you? You ever have those nights where you lay in bed and you can't get to sleep, and then after you think you get to sleep for like half hour, 45 minutes, you're up again?
Yeah.
And then, so you wake up at like 10-something, and then 1:30, and then 3 o'clock, and then 3:45, and at 4 o'clock you say, screw it, I'm just going to get up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had one of those nights.
I did that maybe last night. Two nights. Wait a minute.
Why does that happen?
I don't know why that happens. First off, though, last night would have been an hour ago, right? Even though, like, I was trying to say it was two nights ago.
Yeah.
But it's okay. So the last two nights I've had kind of poor nights of sleep.
Yep.
Maybe it's the heat, getting readjusted to the heat and all that.
No, we had the air on.
Well, see,
and the ceiling fan.
We have one room that we installed a mini split in because it didn't have any heat register.
Yeah.
So that's a heating and cooling unit. So when I told you we don't have central air, we do have one room that has the ability to have really nice air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And we've basically moved in. We've moved.
That's a good idea for this week.
We've moved into a new, not just this week. I think we're there for months.
Oh, really? Even though, I mean, this weekend it's going to be down in the 60s.
Okay. Well, depending on the humidity in the house,
today's bad.
We have a new master bedroom in the short term.
Today's really humid. And I think tomorrow the temperature drops a little bit, but it's still going to be pretty humid for the next 2 days.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Or today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
Good
deal.
Well,
I mean, you could how quickly do I want to get my first line out here today?
Go ahead.
If you're looking to nap later on, you could toss on the press conference. Sorry.
I listened to it live just to make sure I got it out of the way early in my workday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not. You know what? Yesterday I was angry. I'm not today. I mean, I wasn't expecting a landmark statement. I wasn't expecting the GM to pound his fist on the table and rant and rave. And even if he did, it wouldn't make me feel any better about the direction of the franchise. So I wasn't going into yesterday expecting a wonderful moment.
That's part of the problem, though. None of us expect. None of us expect anything.
Yeah.
You know, it was a good. Someone made a good point.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off. I know what I expect. I expect the same thing.
Yeah, you expect no changes. You expect no
status quo.
Yeah, there's no expectation of anything. Yep. Someone had a funny line, I thought, which was a good indicator of, you know, when they voted for the playoff format, this isn't the GM. I think player reps would have voted for this, right, to represent the players?
The executive committee of the NHLPA voted for it.
The Sabres couldn't even band together as a team and vote no?
Yeah, that's right. Carolina and Tampa were the only two teams that voted no.
Right.
Yeah.
The Sabres,
we're just on the outside.
You're the 25th team.
Yeah.
You can't stand up and be like, actually, we don't like this. Can we try some? Oh, okay. Well, we lost a vote.
Yeah.
Nobody thought to stand up.
Let's give it a shot.
Vote no.
Right.
I mean, it's just, I thought it was funny. You know, it's not the kind of thing to actually be mad about, but just to kind of marvel at that, like, yeah, that's right. We don't expect anything from them. And, you know, the things that they, man, it's just, part of me respects that it is tough to answer questions in that format, not just the GM, but the players. Like Kyle Okposo, ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch with all this. I believe this team's going in the right direction. There's no other thing you can say. You have to say that.
Right.
There's no proof. It's, you know, I have a golf game later today, Howard. I'm very confident my game is going in the right direction. You know, I had a birdie 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
birdie.
It's about maintaining that consistency.
Yeah.
And if I can do that, then, you know, we'll start to get better results.
And that's why I can't say it's a regular policy of mine. I've tried over time to become less excited or angry over comments in press conferences because they used to carry a lot of weight. And I'm trying not to let that happen. Mm-hmm. And that's why I look at yesterday and say, you know, you might look at it and you might have listened to the Zoom call live during the instigators. If you missed it, it's an on-demand audio at WGR550.com. Put aside about 35 minutes of your time to listen to it. You know, I really didn't go in short of him saying, yes, I have a deal on the table for a number two center and his name is, like, what were you going to get out of yesterday? You know, I mean, it's not like I don't know what he could have said that would have made me feel any better.
Yeah.
But even if he said this is, I don't even think he used the word completely unacceptable. I think the furthest he went was, we're all disappointed by this. But it's just words anyway. It's not, I need actions. I need changes. I need a better roster. I need a playoff spot. I'm not sure. Look, I think it was a bad idea to bring him back. So I'm not sure there would have been anything he could have said yesterday that it would have made me believe, okay, this is the offseason where his plan will actually, you know, the seeds will start growing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just
If anything, I don't want to hear ever again about Rochester winning. And I think they're putting a lot of pressure on Tage Thompson, Dylan Cousins, and Casey Mittelstadt multiple times yesterday. I believe in our young guys. Where is the scoring going to come from? We're really excited about Tage Thompson. I have no idea why he keeps mentioning those young guys. And I think especially with Cousins, who might be the de facto number two center, it's a lot of pressure on those young guys. I hope it's not we're going to put the majority of our eggs in the young guys' basket this offseason. I mean, and he talked about, we'll look into trades, we'll look into free agency, said they have some flexibility due to contract situations. But it seemed like when talking about scoring depth, he kept coming back to Mittelstadt, Thompson, and Cousins. And that's not going to make me feel any better about the changes next season.
No, not at all. And it was just another press conference about how everybody feels about everything.
Yeah.
You know, oh, the really disappointing thing is our group liked spending time together.
Right. They got along with the coach. The coach likes the players. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Casey Mittelstadt went down to Rochester with the right attitude.
Uh-huh.
Cool.
Great.
Cool. You know, like, what do you do? It's really difficult.
Go ahead.
No, that's it. I'm flailing on what to say.
Yeah.
I don't even have words to express how disappointing everything they say is.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, a lot of people say, well, what else are they going to say? Anything in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I think also, you know, among the things that grabbed me, like I said, I think if there was one prevailing thought, it's the continued emphasis on the young guys. We believe in the young guys. As I said, I hear that and I'm thinking, okay, that's I hope the offseason plan is, yeah, we'll re-sign some of our guys. You know, Larson might be back. I think after he talked about Wayne Simmons yesterday, I expect him to be back. You know, we'll get to the Lawrence Pilot situation. He should, if you know, he should be playing more. I have no idea what they're doing with him. But I get worried that I hope the offseason plan is, don't worry, these three young guys are really going to develop and they're all going to have significant contributions next season. We'll be fine. And the other thing that's troublesome out of yesterday was, I forget, I think the question is something about, hang on, I want to check my notes. Why should fans believe in the plan? You know, why should they believe that this is really going to turn around? And we're at a point where, you know, the GM has to point out, well, 2 years ago, we had a 10-game win streak. Last year, we had a good October. We won 5 of 6 before the trade deadline. It's basically, you know, we've had some winning stretches. Well, unless you're Detroit or Ottawa or the Sabres tank team. Well, actually, even the Sabres tank team had a winning stretch.
They went
Everybody has winning stretches at some point.
They went 10-3 in December.
And that was a team that was built to lose. So, I mean, everybody goes through. You can't say, well, we've seen glimpses of it. Well, the problem is, if you've seen glimpses of it, you know what that means? You're not good enough because there are only glimpses of winning and not consistency. So, I don't know. You know, it's Groundhog Day, you know? You throw your arms up in the air and you think, you know, I have no idea when it's going to change.
Yeah.
I have zero confidence. I mean, I'm not sure that I could be any lower in terms of my hope tank or my confidence level.
Well, I mean, part of the problem, part of the hope tank emptiness is that, again, they should turn it around because you're supposed to.
Well, that's right, with the draft picks and everything.
Even look at Edmonton, who has become respectable now. How did they actually do it? With two top picks.
Mm-hmm. That's Dreisaitl and McDavid.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's what did it for them.
You know, they made some really bad decisions over the years. GMs, coaches.
Still made bad decisions.
Yeah.
The Taylor Hall for Adam Larson decision was after they got McDavid.
Right.
So they got high picks that got them out of it. And Dreisaitl, I guess, is the piece that the Sabres don't have, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have Reinhart instead of Dreisaitl. They've got – I mean, Edmonton's got some other nice pieces, I guess. But, you know, if they don't get McDavid and Dreisaitl, they're not out of their mess either. So it's not. I'm not trying to say tank. I'm saying Edmonton didn't all of a sudden find some magical culture. What they did was, well, you can't be that bad for that long.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't work.
They gave it a pretty good run, though.
They did.
Of being that bad for all those high picks.
Eventually, you're going to get out of it.
Yeah.
And the Sabres are in the same boat. I'm not sure if Jason Botterill will be the guy to get them out of it, but. You know, like, I just think about the Penguins, who were terrible and eventually got out of it. And, of course, you know, the story is that everything changed for them. But I guess, like, that's the part of me that is so disappointed, is that if they do get a really good contribution from Dylan Cousins, it'll be like, wow, well, I mean, look what Botterill did by getting Dylan Cousins. I mean, Dylan Cousins was a highly rated skater that an auto draft could have picked, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the ability to pick guys at the top of the draft. Anybody can do that. Getting there is important. Picking guys high is important. It's about the other trades, the other moves you make.
Free agents.
And
mid-round picks, too.
Mid-round picks, mid-level trades. Find the diamonds in the rough. Find the players that are miscast. Get the right coach. You know, the not-so-easy stuff. The stuff that I don't know how to do. I know how to pick Jack Eichel and Dylan Cousins and Casey Mittelstadt for that matter. So, like, if given enough time, they'll have enough good players and they'll make the playoffs, and then what happens? Then they celebrate?
But you know what? Like you said, it's frustrating because you brought up Pittsburgh. You can throw, I would think, well, they were, to a lesser extent, you could probably throw Chicago in this mix too, right? That
for
franchise
sure.
was bad for a long time. They were considered, if not the worst, one of the worst franchises in the league. Laughing stock material, bad owner, screwed the fans over, pinches pennies, all that stuff. And what happened? Well, they got, you know, they get caned at the top of the draft. They bring in Taves. They get Keith. They get Seabrook. They put some building blocks in place, and they go on this extended run. And they're back in the playoffs thanks to the new play-in format. But they go on this extended run of success. And that's part of the frustration here. You know, you get Eichel. You get Dahlin. You get Reinhardt at the top of the draft. You're picking in the top 10, I think, every year for what, 7-8 years in a row. And you're still, you make a big trade for Skinner and you make these moves and then you wake up and you're still, I looked at the numbers. I wrote a column yesterday and I looked back at the numbers, you know, when Bottrell got the job in the spring of 2017, when he comes in after Murray, he inherits a Sabres team that just went 26th. They had 78 points. They finished 26th in the league. 3 years later in the Bottrell tenure, they went one spot up. They finished 25th in the league, and they were on pace to have 80 points. Two more points and one more spot.
It's worth pointing out they went one spot up with the season cut short. They could have gone back down to that other spot.
True. You know? Yeah, we have no idea how they would have finished. They had lost 6 of 7 when the pause hit.
Not only had they lost 6 of 7, but the GM said that they felt like they played well in those games. Uh-huh. And in those games, they played terribly.
Yeah. And that was a really difficult part of the schedule, and they were losing. So, I mean,
just to give you the numbers on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
The last six games at 5-on-5, the Sabres were 28th in shots for percentage, 31st in goals for percentage,
yeah,
and 31st in expected goals for percentage. Those were the last six games, yeah. The games the GM said they thought they played well in.
And I don't remember the exact teams, but that, I remember us talking about, hey, if you get to March, just so you know, it's a really brutal schedule. Because they had won games going into the trade deadline, and then you kept bringing up meaningful games in March. Who knew they were meaningful games in March? They lose 6 out of 7, and basically it cost them a spot in the play-in round. But I guess it's just, again, it's 3 years later. You're in. You know, is there any improvement? This goes back to the Kim Pegula comment, and we talked about it on yesterday's show about, you know, apparently they see positives that the fans don't see. I don't know. I just take a look and see where you were after the last GM was fired, where you are right now after 3 years of this GM who's sticking around for a fourth year, and I'd say you're really in the same spot. You know, you do have Dahlin, which the previous guy didn't have. He had Eichel. He had Reinhardt. You've added Dahlin. You've added, you know, Skinner. I think he'll bounce back. He had a career-low shooting percentage this past season. That probably improves next year. You traded for Joakim Haar, who looks like a good young defenseman. But in terms of the wins and losses and where you're at as an organization, your cap was a mess this past season. The pipeline, I just, you know, it's just really, really, I know we're going over old ground from yesterday, but it's just really, really frustrating because I don't have the faith that something will change. I hear the GM talk about, he says what we know they have to add, which we've known for years. We need more scoring. Yep. We got to create four lines of offense. Yep. And then, you know, better goaltending from Carter Hutton and special teams needs to be better. Oh, okay, whatever. You still don't score enough, period. And that hasn't changed in forever around here. Name a GM and it's been the problem.
So where do you go from here?
I think I'm going to move. Yeah, I have no choice other than to see what they do in the offseason and see what moves they make, but you know, it's not a fun place to. I got to be honest with you. 2 months in the pandemic without talking about the Sabres was nice. Where do I go from here? I don't know. I've got the bar can't get any lower. I suppose I should say I don't think I could be disappointed by next season, but I probably think, well, that's probably not a smart thing to say. Where do I go from here is I hope the GM knows what he's doing, that he makes some moves to make the roster better in the offseason. And outside of that, I mean, it's cross your fingers and hope that Mittelstadt is here and he's playing well, that Thompson is here and he's playing well, and that Cousins isn't overwhelmed by his first year in the National Hockey League, since we all think he'll be here too. And I would like to see Pilot stick around too.
Yeah. Well, this is a little bit like, I'm thinking back to Doug Marrone a little bit. You know, you were done with Doug Marrone after the two games they lost back-to-back against the
Miami
Chiefs.
And Kansas City.
Right. Mm-hmm. But that same year, they win a game against the Patriots.
They beat Green. Was that the year they beat Green Bay, too, or no? Maybe.
Possibly.
Yeah, it was. They beat Green Bay that year. They beat Aaron Rodgers here.
It's not enough to just show progress. The question is, are you good? Mm-hmm. In the case of the GM or every player, like, I just think that, especially with the Sabres, there are plenty of teams this gets lost, but especially with the Sabres. I also think back to Dick Giron, right? Dick Giron goes 5-1 to start a season. What do they do? Extend
his contract. Yeah.
It's not about if there's a better coach than him. It's always, again, different ownership. So, but it's just the lie of sports. It's always, oh, now things are coming together.
Yeah.
Like, you do realize that this is flat-out competition, every other team out there is trying to get better too. It has to be cutthroat. You have to be good. You have to expose other teams for what their weaknesses are. You know, the idea that the Sabres, like the GM can't say, if you're someone that says, what do you expect him to say? He can't give away his secrets. Secrets? You think the NHL's afraid of the Sabres' secrets? Like they've got some sort of answer, some sort of formula they can't tell everybody? I mean, it's, ugh.
I think with you bringing in Dick Duran and the Bills, I think part of the problem, and I don't know if this is specific to our market, maybe it happens with other franchises, but maybe here because the Bills had a long playoff drought, the Sabres, hey, stat of the day, they've just became the fifth team to miss the playoffs 9 years in a row, and fifth team in NHL history to do that. Yay! I think part of the problem is that, you know, the teams here have tended to measure themselves
against themselves,
that's why Dick Duran gets an extension at 5-1. What did you do? Nothing. You didn't clinch a playoff spot. You didn't get a first round bye. You just happen to have a winning record at almost the midpoint of the season, which around here was fantastic. So the bar isn't how do we, you know, stack up against the best teams in the league. I think the GM and the coach of the Bills are doing that now. But typically it's been, how do we stack up against previous Bills and Sabres teams? How does this quarterback stack up against previous Bills quarterback? Hey, well, you know, he's better than J.P. Lossman. And that's not the way you're supposed to compete. You're supposed to see, how do we stack up against the Patriots with Brady? You know, how do we stack up against, I don't know, the Penguins, the Capitals, the Bruins, who are always good if you want to just stay in the division. And that doesn't happen around here. It's, you know, how can we be better than our previous teams? And that's so when the GM points out, you know, we did have a 10-game win streak and we won 5 of 6 before the trade deadline and we got off to a good start in October, which Sabres teams haven't done for years, that's looked at as a measure of progress.
You know, that 10-game win streak is Tom Brady's shot on the seventh hole or whatever that was.
The 100-yard
wedge.
That's
what it is. Yeah. It's that shot that rolled back in and everyone's like, look at that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, how's everything else gone? Never mind.
Well, that's right. What happened over 68 games or whatever they did? Don't give me glimpses. Don't give me, I mean, you've pointed out the October records for the last 7-8 years are horrendous. Well, they got off to a good start. Great. It still didn't get them into a 24-team play-in format. So who cares? You know, it's what you're doing over the large body of work and the larger sample size. And, you know, even when they were in good stretches last year, I know you'd always bring, okay, where are they in terms of these key analytics and how are they stacking up against the best teams in the league and all this stuff? And it's just, there's never any sustaining, any consistency. You just don't truly believe they're about to take a step back into, you know, serious playoff teams in the National Hockey. They don't even get a sniff of play.
Well,
this is the closest they got, and it's because they added 8 teams to the postseason.
I mean, I say a lot of things about the GM and about the way he approaches it, and maybe behind closed doors he is fiery and he's upset and he's so, you know, we can only know what he gives us. And I listen to every interview he does with the afternoon guys, and I listen to the press conferences. And you know, if he is a different person behind closed doors, okay, great. But you know, I can only react, and any fan can only react based on what you get from him. And as I was listening yesterday, the way that I think about it is, and I've said this about the Sabres for a long time, about, you know, my rants have always been about, where is your standard? You know, you're talking about that 10-game win streak. Yesterday's press conference, yesterday's Zoom call, he doesn't sound like the GM of a team that has had another horrendously disappointing season.
Mm-hmm.
He sounds like a program administrator telling families that, hey, your kids are still in good shape here. We got a lot of good stuff going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like some sort of basketball camp, and you're trying to convince parents that no, actually this is really good, and we like what we've seen out of Jake. We're expecting big things from him this year. It's a travel teamer. I don't know. It's like it does not sound like a professional sports organization whose sole reason for existence is to win the Stanley Cup. It does not sound like that.
No,
and that is their choice. You know, so they don't have to care about any single person getting mad about that, but I think it's totally reasonable to be upset about the way that they present themselves, because it's a choice to do it that way.
And I think part of one of the other frustrations here, Jeremy, is that Bottrell who has that mindset, or is that coming from the owners? Because on the record, one of the owners the other day said, we see positives the fan don't see in a 9th straight miss of the playoffs.
Well,
and with a GM who has improved this team maybe by a hair in 3 years.
I think your answer might come down to they hired a coach that is very good at delivering that exact same idea, that exact same message.
Right.
You're talking to the parents of the kids enrolled in your program and telling them things are going well.
Then they'll walk out of the room feeling good.
Or you hope they do.
Yeah. All right. It is 6:30 already. The show is just flying by. 803-0550 to join us. We will open up the phone lines. We always encourage you to get involved, even in these days when it's, life is a little crazy for everybody. We would love to hear from you this morning. 803-0550, 888-552-550. Maybe you listened to the Zoom call on Instigators. Maybe you listened to it on on-demand audio. Maybe it doesn't even matter if you did. I'm sure you have an opinion on the Sabres. Oh, man, we're going to have heavy rain this afternoon. I was going to get in the pool.
I was going to golf.
You were going to golf today? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might want to take a coat, like a raincoat. You know, like the heavy stuff might not come down for a while, but it looks like we're going to have heavy rain. Well, that stinks. Anyway, phone lines are open. Sabre fans, give us a call. It'll help you deal with all this stuff to get it off your chest. On the show today, we'll talk about this and the Sabres and Bottrell and all this stuff from yesterday with Marty Baron. He's going to be with us at 7:30.
And there was one very interesting thing to come out of the series of Zoom calls.
Okay.
I think it's a very interesting conversation to have.
We'll do that when we get back. Also on the show today, the latest on what's going on in the NBA. Frank Isola is going to join us at 9 o'clock from ESPN's Around the Horn and Sirius XM NBA Radio. We'll find out what's happening in the world of the Mid-American Conference, college football season. A lot of questions about that. MAC Commissioner Dr. John Steinbrecher at 9:30 WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Group has shown that glimpses, we can be a very strong team, but it's imperative that we add more depth to that group and improve our young players to be legit NHL players to have success here moving forward. And that's why I would think that our fan base would be excited about the young players that we have coming in here and that we've shown that we can do it. Now it's imperative that we show that over 82 games.
Sabres GM Jason Bottrell, some of his comments to the media during a Zoom call yesterday. Now that the season is officially over for the Sabres, their end of season interviews are going on. Some more players are coming up today. Brayton's going to be in on all of that stuff, and we'll have everything for you if you miss any of the interviews, any of the Zoom calls. They're all available in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. Brayton's also got an article wrapping up yesterday with Jason Bottrell as well. There is a report that Lawrence Pilot might be going to the KHL. However, even if he does go there, there would apparently be an out clause in his contract, so he could come back here. He's an RFA come July first.
Well, I have a report for you as well. An
SSS? Super
SSS.
Secret.
Wait, Super Secret Saber Source.
Super Secret. SSSS.
That's right. It's four S's.
Okay.
KHL isn't going to start back up until September.
Yeah, September 2nd, they just announced their opening date.
The Sabres aren't playing ever again.
January?
But, yeah. The belief is that this is Mr. Pilot looking to try and get a little more money out of the Sabres, who might be being a bit stingy.
Mm-hmm.
That they have told Pilot he's in their plans to be in their top four this year. He has made back-to-back AHL All-Star games.
Yeah.
So if the organization that does the draft, you know, develop, Rochester has a guy go to the All-Star game twice and then walk, good luck ever selling that to anybody ever. And I'm not sure if like that's what motivates him, but he very well might not be gone, that he might be trying to get more money out of them. And
okay.
There you go.
In the meantime, maybe he could get some playing time, stay in shape, and come back here first of the year.
Or he could also be asking to try and force a trade.
Yeah.
Because he wants out. Because
I'd be unhappy with him because I would be wondering, what the heck are you guys doing with me?
Well, Chad DeDominicis tweeted out that Pilot was maybe promised a spot after he returned from his shoulder injury, and that spot never came.
Okay.
So he felt he was disillusioned or misled. So,
well, you had to be
wondering. Hey, what do you know? Another player that the Sabres have ruined their relationship
mishandled.
With, yeah, and right. He might want out because of, yeah. So we'll see. But I don't think he's gonna. I don't think he'll leave. We'll see. We'll see if he's bluffing or if he's trying to push his way out or just get more money.
I mean, they decided to keep Zach Bogosian for months after they had pretty much suspended him indefinitely, trying to trade him, and nobody wanted him. And then it took until trade deadline to put him on waivers to terminate his contract.
They kept Bogosian for 3 years too long.
Yeah, way, way too long.
The story of the Sabres last few years has been like the allure of the big skating defenseman, and they can't get their eyes off of them, even though if they're bad, you know.
Other headlines real quick. The NHL has told the playoff teams they'll have a 28-man roster and an unlimited number of goalies. The Red Wings are bringing back coach Jeff Blashill. The NFL owners vote today on the onside sorry, that was a commentary during a headline. The NFL owners vote today on the onside kick alternative. The Sky Judge proposal has been withdrawn. Jadeveon Clowney reportedly turned down a lucrative offer from the Cleveland Browns. NBA GMs will hold a call today, Board of Governors tomorrow. Not sure that they're going to vote on a return to play format. Proposals have included 16, 20, or 24 teams in playoffs, likely in Orlando. Major League Baseball players are expected to counteroffer the owners this week with a proposal that would include more games and full prorated salaries for the season. NASCAR's... go ahead.
It's tough to take the Major League Baseball news.
Yeah.
Not because I'm upset with the players wanting to be paid, whatever they want to be paid. Like that's not a problem. What I'm upset with regarding this whole baseball labor thing is that we have found ourselves in the midst of one of these labor things where a reporter will say, I've never seen the union so mad.
Galvanized, yeah, right.
I'm like, oh,
right.
Here we go. We're doing this thing.
We're
doing the sports union versus owners thing where all we are doing is – through the media, negotiating both sides.
And you forgot to add one of the other things that's a staple of labor negotiations. Well, it sure looks like ownership is trying to split the union. You know, they're asking the high-paid players to take more pay cut and the low-paid guys to take less of a pay cut to try and split the union and create internal strife, leading to ownership win. Yeah. NASCAR's Cup Series race last night in Charlotte was rained out. They're going to try and run that race tonight at 7 o'clock. Those are your headlines. So what else came out of yesterday?
So every single player that was interviewed talked about the leadership of Jack Eichel.
Mm-hmm.
And this now we get to do this. The question that the Last Dance documentary asked can finally be asked the right way. So every one of those guys said, you know what? I watched The Last Dance and I thought about Jack Eichel's leadership. So my question is, wait, is that good?
I think that would be a
question.
Good thing.
That's the question the Last Dance asked.
Yeah.
Did every one of those players say that because they think he is unbelievably motivated and driven or because he's a jerk?
Yeah.
Because that's what that show was. So, like, I'm not sitting here telling you that it has to be bad or that it has to be good because Michael Jordan got away with it because they won all the time.
Yeah, you could do both. He did both. He was a jerk and he was highly motivated.
And Eichel, they don't win. Yeah. Not his fault, but they don't win.
Right.
So for them to say, oh, yeah, I was reminded of Michael Jordan's style of leadership in The Last Dance. Oh, okay. Is that good? Are we sure?
Yeah. I'm going to vote for good.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to guess that Yeah, I'm trying to think what's the bad. How could it? Yeah, I'm going to vote for good. That, okay, maybe he can be moody at times, but it's because he's so tired of losing and is driven to win. By the way, I don't know if we'll have time for it today. If we don't get to it today, we'll get to it tomorrow. Lance Armstrong, I did watch part one last night. Okay. And this made me think about the conversation about being driven to win and hating to lose and all this stuff. So maybe I'm going to say that's a good thing, because if Eichel is showing that as the leader of the team, that the players would look on that as a positive. Okay, yeah, maybe he's a jerk sometimes, but he wants to win so badly, it comes out that way. So I'll vote good for now.
Okay.
I got to have something positive in my head, so I'm going to have to vote for that. Hey, Jack, keep playing like you were playing. I mean, it's, you know, if he's a jerk, so be it. He was the best player on the team, and he should have been an MVP candidate on one of the worst teams in the league. So I'm going to be okay with that coming back. 803-0550 to join us this morning. We'll get your thoughts in on some of the comments from the GM yesterday. Maybe you heard some of the stuff from the players as well. We got some other stuff we'll get to today in terms of the NFL owners, the NBA proposals, and virtual fans. There was a, you know what, I can bring this up when we get back. I was reading a story yesterday about, you know, we talked about Bundesliga pumpkins, crowd noise into some of their games this week, or at least one of their games this week. And I wanted to pass
I
along.
I did watch it. I watched the highlight.
How was
it? It's fine.
Yeah. Okay. What, so there was just continuous crowd noise?
A little bit, and when a goal was scored, it got louder.
Went up? Okay.
And it was totally fine. You would have been watching this game with the game on in the background, and you would not really have known.
Huh, good. Yeah, I think you got to do something. You can't have just a quiet telecast or just on-ice noises. Or I mean, an NBA game where, you know, maybe you hear, you know, the coaches yelling out a play or something like that. You got to have some kind of atmosphere to it. There's an experiment they're doing in Europe. I'll bring this up when we get back about virtual fans. We'll get to that in a moment. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550 on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Believe in Ralph and his message and the steps that we took in this last year, and that's what we have to take. That's what we have to focus on is this one last year. And I know that Jason's gonna do a good job this summer and putting some pieces in play for us, and looking forward to everybody coming back better than they were.
It's Kyle Oposo, one of the Sabres players who spoke yesterday. They're doing a number of different Zoom calls. Brayton, you were in on this yesterday. What was Jake McCabe, Rasmus Dahlin,
yep.
Kyle Oposo.
And Victor Olofsson.
Victor Golofsson.
Golofsson, yes.
They're still
talked a little bit about Brolofsson, too.
They're still going to do end of the season awards, right? At some point?
I would think so, yeah.
Will he win Rookie of the Year?
No.
Kale McCarr?
No, I think it'll be Quinn Hughes.
Quinn Hughes?
I mean, it probably should be Kale McCarr, but McCarr got injured, and that allowed Hughes to kind of catch up, and then Olofsson got injured, and then Hughes kind of passed by both of them. What's going to be really interesting to see is how they kind of divvy up that third spot, because it's probably going to be Hughes 1, McCarr 2, and I think it should be Olofsson 3, but I bet it won't be. I bet it'll be Dominik Kubalík who's number 3, because he was the rookie that managed to get 30 goals.
More player calls today. Who's on tap today? Is Eichel speaking?
Yes, Eichel's speaking today. Sam Reinhardt is speaking today. Jeff Skinner is also going to be available. Good. And Rasmus Ristolainen.
And we'll have all those in on-demand audio.
And on Friday, Ralph Kruger is going to be available to the media at 11 o'clock, I believe.
So today, there is an experiment going on in the Danish Superliga. Jeremy, you can help me with the pronunciation of this team when I get to that part.
Okay.
So there's a club there, AGFR, A-A-R-H-U-S, Aarhus? I don't know. So there's this Danish soccer club. They have a match today. And they are going to try and experiment with a virtual grandstand.
Love it.
So we've heard about, hey, you could pump in crowd noise. Hey, what about, you know, CGI for images of fans? Apparently, this is the first experiment or try at combining the two. So what they did was they began offering tickets to the first game back, which is today. The tickets are free. You get a Zoom link, and you're one of the fans that are rotating in on a 44-yard-long sideline video board. So it's basically, you know what a Zoom call looks like, right? You got the screen, all the little boxes with the different faces on your computer. They're going to do this for the soccer game. And they're going to put up these video boards on the sidelines. They're going to be a three-piece video board over 9 feet tall, 131 feet wide. It can fit 200 fans at once. And they're going to show fans watching the game, reacting, cheering, booing, singing, whatever, while the soccer game is going on to make it feel as close as they can to actual fans in the stands. We'll see how it works. There's one problem with this. Couple problems, actually. The delay factor. They can't, while they're on the Zoom call, they're not actually seeing the game. They've got to watch it on whatever, their computer, their phone, another way of streaming the game. There's going to be a delay. So their reaction will be 6 or 7 seconds after what happens on the field. If they're on their phone watching the game, it's actually a 30-second delay. So there could be some bugs that you might have to try and work out. It might not necessarily sync up, but it's the first time anybody will try pictures of fans and sound and put it together during the game to see how it all works. And that is going on today in the Danish Superliga. So we shall
love
see.
It. Yeah, we think these are all good ideas. All these short-term, fixes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
You could be on, you could be in the virtual grandstand at New Era Field with your season tickets this fall if there are no fans in the stands. That way we get to see you on TV all the time. I guess if it's the way it's going to be done, so like I said, they're going to rotate fans. So each fan apparently is going to get more than 2 minutes on the video board. So you're up there for 2 minutes with the other people on the screen and all the little boxes, and then they'll change it up to another rotation of fans, and they'll just keep going through different fans for different reactions and sound over the course of the match.
Cool.
But yeah, I'd like to see how it turns out.
The only thing about this is not necessarily for the television viewer. It doesn't bring me, the viewer, anything. It brings the players.
The players will see
that there are live fans there, but they won't be looking at them too hard during the run of play.
No.
I guess what this is, I don't know, is this like the social media selfie-ing of sports television?
Well, I mean, the players will see the fans. I mean, they'll have a video board that they'll see their faces and hear the noise.
Right, but they'll be playing a game where they're not going to look at that.
Oh, for sure. They'll be busy playing the game.
Yeah. So it's almost like a little way to kind of keep fans engaged in a game that they're not at.
You know what? So, yeah, the Genesis, they got the idea apparently from there's a TV show, a Danish TV show. It's like an entertainment show. And what they did was they had a well-known musician perform on this show. And they had citizens record themselves singing the same song. And so basically, they performed alongside the musician. And the soccer club saw that and thought, hey, can we do that with our matches? So they said they contacted Zoom, and they've been working with them to set up all these different calls and all these different avenues to do this. There are going to be 556 separate Zoom meetings going on to get the number of fans they want to have for the rotation for the soccer match. 18 fans in each Zoom room, 556 different Zoom meetings going on. I didn't do the math. 556 times 18, there's how many fans will be virtually involved in the grandstand. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. Happy Thursday, everybody. We are talking about the Sabres and Jason Botchel's comments from yesterday. You can share your thoughts on that. If there's something else you want to get to, that's fine, too. Marty Braun, joining us at 7:30 on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.